How's it going? You know, I've noticed, guys, it's like, it's cool finally being able to tell that the sun is staying out longer. Hey, Debbie. You know, I usually go home from work between 4:30 and quarter after 5 or so, and it's still light finally at 5. That's cool. It's pretty cool. It's nice. Hey, Candace. Nice having some sunshine today, you know. I actually, my days can be halfway enjoyable if the weather's nice. Hey, Michelle. Michelle, I saw your boy got baptized. That's pretty cool. We had, Silas was baptized up the Checa River, so we had a cool shindig, and a bunch of people came out there for that. And then my oldest daughter, Lauren, actually, I baptized at a local congregation, so that's a cool, I like seeing that, Michelle. That's a cool part of having young people around. Yeah. Andre Bay, how you doing, man? Hey, is Dave Barnes on yet? Where's Dave Barnes? I need to get a comment from Dave Barnes. So I watched the county budget meeting, and so it was my first chance to see the new county treasurer, and he looks just like old Dave Barnes. Like, I thought, you know, Dave, man, you know, haircut, maybe. You know, just a little grooming, take out the braids or something. I didn't think I'd see a Dave Barnes like in a suit and tie or anything. So, but that's interesting. It's an interesting meeting. They're gonna have another. It's like a mid-year budget review to see Candace. Yeah. It's a mid-year budget review to hear from the department heads and stuff. And so they heard from the sheriff and the DA and Jim Colin, treasurer Dave Barnes, the juvenile director. And there's Dave Barnes, you put on a tie for the interview. That was enough, huh? I wonder though, dude, if that's like, if you got commissioners up there thinking, oh, that was false advertising. Dude comes in wearing a tie and then comes back and is norm. But that's cool, Dave Barnes. That's cool, man. It's Curry County. It's Curry County, right? And there's a lot of folks that have moved to Curry County, and they didn't pack their ties. They didn't pack their suit and ties, you know, left them there. Left them all there where they came from. Yeah. But that was cool. That was interesting seeing you, Dave, in that capacity, as opposed to just a member of the public commenting. It was interesting listening to the juvenile director. Her name's escaping me right now, but listening to just how that's all going, and through the whole, you know, the COVID advent, the advent of COVID, and the arguments that have happened since the beginning, and the level of risk of COVID, the disease, and the level of risk to the general population of other things that could come about because of COVID restrictions, right? So when we were all locked down, you heard a lot of people, Wendy Lang, we were all locked down, you heard a lot of folks say, you know, this is going to cause serious social problems for everybody and for kids. And what about, you know, domestic abuse and child neglect and stuff like that. So it's interesting listening to her and hearing about some of that and the detriment to schools being closed being such a big deal to some kids. I mean, there's plenty of kids that school is their safe place, You know, school is where they can go to get a meal and get some normalcy in their life. So, I don't know. I was still kind of waiting. It'll be interesting to see when the COVID thing is all said and done, and we look back at this time and the detriment to our society as a whole and to our county, and just where you know, where the most pain was felt. Dave Barnes, reports of child abuse have fallen a lot. So, Dave Barnes, correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to say that I heard her say, Wendy Lang say that they have not gotten any referrals from the school district, right? Because school's not in session. And so she did mention that with school not in session, that's where they historically get a lot of referrals. But now, you know, she hasn't gotten any from the school. But then follow that up with the fact that they have there's three Curry kids that are going to residential, like live-in treatment centers, where typically she mentioned that we would have one or two a year, and currently going three between Roseburg and Prineville. Yeah, Candace, unfortunate. It is unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but could be made a nightmare with, you know, things going to the next level with a couple of those kids, right? I mean, just imagine if we have, you know, we've had five COVID deaths. Well, a year from now, when we look back, what if we had five COVID deaths and two teen suicides, you know, or more? Even, I mean, by the end of COVID, if say we wind up with 10 COVID deaths, 10 COVID deaths is one thing, you know, adding on a couple of teen suicides and rough, very rough. There was a lot of talk at the Eric Bryant, how you doing, man? There was a lot of talk at the budget committee about the ramifications of I don't remember what ballot measure it was now, maybe 110, ballot measure 110 maybe, decriminalizing a lot of the hardcore street drugs. And teenagers are deadly all by themselves, Candace. I know. Yeah, I shouldn't have laughed because it's no joke. It's no joke. But, you know, we've all been teenagers. I can remember being a teenager, and it's a rough time. Really rough time. Anyway, decriminalizing the drugs and the ramifications of that. It's interesting to me seeing everybody in up at the county and that whole meeting, and at least vocalized from everyone, absolute disagreement with decriminalizing any of those major drugs. And every one of them, between the sheriff and all the county commissioners and that juvenile, the juvenile director and the county DA, all of them having a perspective of Oregon doesn't know what they just did, and there's going to be hell to pay kind of thing, you know? And, you know, a lot of it makes sense. The fact that we're the only country in the state to do it, especially here in Curry County, we're a border area, right? So bringing drug users up in Oregon because they don't need to be worried about getting hooked and booked, you know, to find some heroin on them. So they're worried about people coming up here with the sole, you know, moving here solely because of drugs being decriminalized. I don't know. We'll see. The financial impacts of it were talked about. you know, looking into the future, Brad Alcorn, who's the chairman of the budget committee, he spoke about what he sees coming down the pipe for increased home invasion and property theft and things. Andre Bay. So this is my deal, Andre. Andre Bay, has the war on drugs worked yet? It's a social issue, not a criminal issue. So my personal stance on it is, yeah, you know, drugs get decriminalized and all of these horrible things that come with it, you know, quite possibly. Drugs being criminal and us operating the way we have since before I was born, you know, obviously isn't good. Isn't good either. It's not working what we were doing, you know. So I don't know. It seems like we would have a few years of catch up. It would be a few years before funds get reallocated. So funds saved from the enforcement of these narcotics that are now decriminalized and what that cost, and that those funds being transferred to social, you know, drug rehab and stuff. It's going to, you know, it'll take a while. It'll take a while for that to happen. So it's interesting. That's another one that'll be super interesting 2 or 3 years from now to look at statistics locally and what the decriminalization of those drugs really does for us locally. Will it increase property crimes? You know, will we see more driving under the influence because drugs are decriminalized? I think if I historically removing criminally destroys the black market for it. If I was a betting man, I could be wrong, but my magic eight ball says that if you're a heroin addict, you're going to be doing heroin, whether it's criminal or decriminalized. I don't see, so heroin became decriminalized. I don't see too many people going, what? Heroin's not criminal anymore? I feel like trying it. You know, I don't see that. I don't see that so much. I think drug users are drug users and when they are out of money or whatever and they steal and rob to feed their habit, that's what they do, whether or not the drug's criminalized or not. So I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. I think that was really it for the budget meeting. Oh, I got a laugh because I know Brad Alcorn, who's also a Brookings City Councilor. Brad Alcorn has watched some of these before, so if he watches this one, I gotta tell him that. So Alcorn's the chairman of the budget committee, and so when the budget committee meets and it's the budget committee's meeting and he is the chair, regardless of county commissioners or chairman of county commissioners, Brad Alcorn's the chair of the budget committee, and he needs to be the one to call the meeting to order. And he can find his own weird, drawn out long stories to tell at the onset of the meeting and introduce people and pat some backs and do it his way. But Brad, it's yours, man. It's your meeting, so you gotta take it. You gotta take it. So our workshop, prison system, Dallas Ock. Can you imagine the money saved? In the money saved in the prison system should be able to get a lot of people a lot of help and be able to fund some pretty serious like rehab facilities and halfway houses. Yeah. Our workshop on Monday yesterday was fine. It wasn't as in depth and wasn't as much conversation as what I was kind of expecting. So first we heard from David Brock Smith, and you guys have all, anyone that watches this knows most about that and has probably heard has heard David Brock Smith, or at least tried to hear him on here. So he gave that same spiel, answered questions of city councilors. I think for me, thunder and lightning, Dallas saw it just now. I know, I heard that too. That was weird. That's what I was looking at. It's like it's that low growl of thunder. It's crazy. It's kind of cool. What was interesting to me, and what I was looking for and wanted to see of the city council, I wanted to get a feel for the council's thought on how active they wanted to be, or how proactive the council wants to be with securing affordable housing or workforce housing. Because at the end of David Brock Smith's chat, at the end of us seeing, you know, new state laws to incentivize the development of it, my perspective, at least, and again, this is only talking for myself, my perspective of what I see the city council, at the end of that whole conversation, we're all still sitting in the same spot, and all left with the same issue of, okay, well, who is it that wants to come here, or, you know, who is it that wants to come here and build, or what builder here wants to build a project like that, you know, for not as much as what they usually make. One major outfit that was brought up that maybe would want to finance the building of some workforce housing was South Coast Lumber. South Coast Lumber was brought up, you know, developing some workforce housing for their own employees, taking advantage of some of the tax credits they could get from the house bills that David Brock Smith was talking about. So that would be, you know, it's interesting, but we're still kind of at the same spot. So looking at the council and how proactive they want to be, I didn't see or hear anything that would make me think that the city of Brookings is going to get actively involved in housing development. I don't see it. I didn't see anything from any councilors that seemed to be wanting to go that direction. So, I don't know. Borax is for the city of Brookings and development and growth for actually Brookings proper. Borax property is where it's going to be. That's where it's going to be. The other thing we talked about was the SDCs. The SDCs was the part of the meeting that I thought was going to go longer, but it really didn't. Mainly the topic was brought up to us just wanting to show us kind of the direction that staff was going, to hire out a SDC study and just to make sure that was keeping with council direction. I heard a lot of skepticism of the bill. A lot of organizations are to request funding directly from them without going to community action agencies and building could move quickly for affordable housing. Yeah, Diana, I get you heard a lot of skepticism about the bill. Yeah, I understand that perspective and why you would get that because it kind of was. I got that too. David Brock Smith's done talking, and it was kind of like, you know, less than super enthusiastic, right? Because nothing there is a game changer, and we kind of felt like, okay, we're still in the same spot here. There's no real game changer, no magic bullet. You know, if I had seen some willingness on the council to go further on it, you know, and maybe we still will in the future, but Ed Schreiber. We could see in the future a more active role in the city, you know, because there are things we could do. But I think for the time being, I don't think you're going to see any mountains move for the time being. That's funny. Ed Schreiber's on live. So here's an interesting thing that I thought about during the workshop, Councillor Schreiber. And this isn't specific to Councillor Schreiber, Ed, so I don't, you know, it's awkward hearing yourself spoken about, right? And so it's not, I'm using you as an example, Ed, okay? Because it's a common thing with when people get elected to a public office, okay? So, newly elected Councillor Schreiber, one seems concerned about the budget and is very prone to being very fiscally responsible with taxpayer dollars, and so that usually lends itself to questioning costs of everything, you know, obviously, which is good. But when I was sitting in the workshop, this is the second meeting that we've had with a new counselor, I was reminded how frustrating it can be as someone new, coming in with fresh eyes and with fresh ideas and new ideas. At least in their mind, they're new and fresh, things that they haven't heard before. And so, having those new fresh ideas, you take a seat at the table and you try sharing those ideas, and open up your mouth, share an idea, and just watch everybody just kind of just slap it down. You know, I remember when I was new, I would just get a bunch of not quite eye rolls, but kind of like, oh, we've just sit back. We'll take it from here. We've been through this. We've been through that. That doesn't work. Why doesn't that new idea work? Well, it just doesn't work. We've tried it in the past. It doesn't work. But the new ideas constantly being, you know, at least from the perspective of the person giving the new idea, feeling like they get stomped on. And I'm not saying at all that this is how Ed Schreiber is taking it at all. I remember taking it like that. And I've seen that. I've seen it with multiple, you know, across many boards. When you're new and you're stepping into a process that has already been going, or a project that has already been going, or even just a political direction that's already kind of set and going, it's really hard to be the new person and to voice those new ideas and really have them listened to. So, Councillor Schreiber, that's, you know, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about that and want to make sure that at least on my end, I'm not dismissive of new ideas because I'd heard them before, you know. Not dismissive of questions just because they were asked 10 years ago, so they don't need to be asked today. Good, Ed. Ed Schreiber, I didn't feel slapped down just planting seeds. Good, Ed. Yeah. Because, you know, things, 10 years can be a long time for the public, you know, and the masses. 10 years can be a long time. A lot of things change in 10 years. People's ideas and even direction that they want to take the city, downtown culture and stuff changes in 10 years. So, those of us that have been around for a while, we get in that stagnant spot of having been around for a while and having dealt with the issues. So, I'm gonna try, Ed. You know, Ed, I'm gonna try. Keep my mind open, not just to be too dismissive. So that's my pledge to you, sir. Need to present new ways to make old ideas work. That's a good saying.
also might be time for new ideas.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the thing, Candace. You know, like I said, 10 years is a long time, and people change, players change, property owners change, and a lot of things that worked 10 years ago wouldn't work today, and a lot of things that didn't work 10 years ago could likely work today. So that's my spiel for the day, guys. Was there anything else? Oh, McKinney asked about the tsunami warning, Susan. I saw that the fire chief, Jim Watson, replied to Susan McKinney's comment on my post about the tsunami test, but then deleted it, so I'm not sure what's up with that. But he answered it, but no, we don't. City of Brookings doesn't do a tsunami test. That's always been county, and you can still hear it. You can still hear it. Okay, that's it, guys. So I'll see you Thursday at 6 o'clock. Not sure what I'm going to talk about Thursday. I'm going to see about maybe having a guest on. I want to fix any of that technical issues with having people on though before I do that more. So I'm crossing my fingers on that, but I know how frustrating that can be, guys, and I don't know why someone would continue to watch. You know, if a video is bad or if the audio is bad, I'd be moving on to something else if I were you. So, Dave Barnes, the second longest serving treasurer this decade. I know, dude. I know. And you're doing good, Dave Barnes. You're doing good. I would have expected though, just to go like this, and that. But not really, dude. Not really. I'm just kidding. I would have been disappointed if you had stood up, dude, in front of the camera, all stinking, all lickety and everything. You know, hair combed and everything. I'd figure you were a stinking sellout. So I'm glad you didn't. All right, guys. Have a good night. I'll see you Thursday.